Shalom. You're about to hear a message given by Rabbi Loren Jacobs of Congregation Shema Yisrael, located in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, USA. For more information, you can go to our website, shema.com, shema.com.
Thank you, Rabbi Glenn. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2, continuing this series in Paul and Timothy's letter to the Kehillah, the congregation at Colossae. The Colossian community was a good, solid community of Christians and Messianic Jews, but they were being challenged by false teaching and false teachers. The false teaching was a mixture of Jewish legalism, Greek philosophy, a false kind of mysticism, and a kind of asceticism, self-abasement, denial. To combat these teachings, Paul and Timothy focused the attention of Messiah's community in Colossae on Messiah himself, the importance of Messiah, the centrality of Messiah. Even though he was in a Roman prison waiting for a trial that could result in his death, that didn't prevent the Lord's representative from fighting for the Colossians and others to remain true to the faith, the core beliefs that they had been taught. Chapter 2, verse 1, I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. Laodicea was 11 miles from Colossae, and the false teachings that had been promulgated in Colossae had also been affecting God's people in Laodicea. But Paul was the kind of man that would not let false teaching go unchallenged. Truth is too important. Error is too dangerous. The spiritual well-being of Messiah's community is too important for errors to be allowed to spread without a vigorous, clear, forceful response. Paul's method to contend for Messiah's communities helped the Colossians remain encouraged, united, loving, and to understand Messiah in his fullness. And so Paul writes, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely, Messiah, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul wanted encouraged communities. He knew that false teaching discourages. It discourages those who remain faithful and see others fall into error. It may eventually discourage those who embrace the false teaching because false teaching does not work and eventually harms people's lives. Paul wanted Messiah's communities to be encouraged, courageously advancing, moving forward with confidence, not discouraged. Paul wanted encouraged communities. Paul wanted united, loving communities. He knew that false teaching can divide a community. It can separate those who remain loyal to the truth from those who embrace the error. False teachings may divide a community if the false teacher gathers people around himself. False teaching can create resentment between those who remain loyal to the truth and those who leave the truth. Paul wanted united, loving communities. that supported and cared for the members, not divided, resentful congregations. Some of the false teachers may have claimed to have a superior kind of knowledge, a hidden secret knowledge. The answer to this challenge? Paul wanted wise communities that have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, and that mystery is Messiah. And in Messiah are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Again, for the second time in this letter, the rabbi uses the word mystery, something previously not clearly understood, but only recently revealed. That's a mystery, according to Paul's usage. The Jewish people did know about the coming of the Messiah. That was not a mystery. The prophets had given us significant information about the Messiah. But with the actual arrival of the Messiah, new truth about him had been recently revealed. Messiah's mission had been clearly revealed, which was to save Jews and Gentiles from Satan, sin, the sin nature, and death. By Messiah dying and rising from the dead and giving his spirit to those who become loyal to Messiah, Messiah's mission had been clearly revealed. Messiah's holiness had been clearly revealed. How he alone of all humanity would resist every temptation and live a perfect, righteous, obedient life. How special Messiah is had been recently revealed. He's the only one with two natures in one person, fully God and fully man. The Son of God, the Son of Man, El Gibor, the Mighty God, and a Yeled Yulad Lanu, a child born to us. He is literally Emmanuel, God with us, but also the Son of David. Messiah's specialness, his special nature, had been clearly revealed. Messiah's relationship to God the Father and God the Spirit had been clearly revealed. Three distinct persons sharing the same nature with a hierarchy of authority within the three in oneness of God. The power of Messiah had been clearly revealed, that all power and authority in heaven and on earth is his. He is Lord over every man, every woman, every Jew, every Gentile, every fallen angel, every good angel and archangel, every force of nature. The lordship of Messiah had been recently revealed. Messiah's relationship to Gentiles had been revealed, that they were being welcomed into his eternal community as full members, without giving up their own national identity, without becoming Jews. Messiah's relationship to his followers had been clearly revealed. He's not just our Messiah, our ultimate prophet, priest, king, and savior, but our living Lord, our living head, who lives in us by means of his Spirit, transforming us, giving us a new nature, giving us power and strength and direction. Messiah's relationship to his followers had been clearly revealed. How wise Messiah is had been clearly revealed. Wiser than any of the rabbis or the Torah teachers. Wiser than the prophets, even wiser than wise King Solomon. He is that wonderful counselor who, out of his infinite wisdom, is able to give us all the wisdom, guidance, direction, instruction, teaching that we need. Paul wanted encouraged, united, loving, knowledgeable communities who knew the mystery of God, namely the Messiah, who is the source of wisdom and knowledge. That would prevent them from going after the false teaching of the philosophers who offered hidden knowledge. Knowing who Messiah is, the importance of Messiah, the centrality of Messiah, being fixed on Messiah, would prevent them from falling for false teaching. So Paul writes, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. The fact that Paul was warning Messiah's community in Colossae about false teachings doesn't mean that they were being fooled or taken in by the false teachings. He adds, for though I am absent from you in body, I'm present with you in spirit, and I delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Messiah is. So the rabbi, though physically absent from them, nevertheless was present with them in spirit, which means he cared about them. He was hearing about them. He was thinking about them. He was praying for them. He was writing to them. He was teaching them. He was with them in spirit. He knew that although false teachers were trying to influence them, the Colossians weren't being taken in by the false teachers. They were disciplined and firm in their faith. They were committed to listening to the right spiritual authorities, like Paul and Timothy and Epaphras. Paul's writing to make sure that their faith, their core beliefs, the things they believed in, remained that way, firm, disciplined, so that they stayed within good theological boundaries. Paul wanted them to continue their spiritual life in the same way that they had started it, by focusing on Messiah Yeshua as Lord. So then, just as you received Messiah Yeshua as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted in Him, built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. How did the Colossians receive Messiah Yeshua? As Lord. Yeshua was proclaimed to them as the risen and living Lord, powerful, authoritative, greater than Caesar, greater than the Greek and Roman gods, greater than all the philosophers and prophets of any other religion, supreme over all things, all powers, all forces. The Colossians received Messiah Yeshua as Lord. How did they receive Messiah Yeshua? As the focus of their faith. It was the good news about the Lord Yeshua the Messiah that was proclaimed to them. It was with that focus that they started their spiritual lives. And Paul wanted them to continue to live their lives focused on Messiah Yeshua the Lord as being supremely important. They were to be aware that they were connected to the Messiah, rooted to the Messiah, like a tree is firmly rooted to the ground so that it stays firmly attached to the soil. They were to be built up in Messiah, with Messiah himself being the foundation of their faith and their goal to become like Messiah. Paul and Timothy wanted the Colossians overflowing with thankfulness, with gratitude for all of God's goodness, and I think especially for Messiah and what Messiah meant to them. But in Colossae and Laodicea, there were spiritual predators who proclaimed that they had a better focus than that of Messiah. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Messiah. These false teachers, these spiritual predators, were looking for followers. Those who were deceived by their false teachings became their captives. They were in danger of losing their freedom to think for themselves, losing control of their money, perhaps even their lives. False teaching is so dangerous. To those not focused on Messiah, the teachings being offered might have seemed to make sense. They may have even seemed to work. But the reality was that these false teachings were hollow, empty, deceptive, because they weren't true, they weren't real, they weren't substantial. They would not produce what the false teachers promised. Hollow, deceptive, empty. Some of these false teachers mixed their teachings with human traditions, because human traditions can be old, widely accepted, and that reinforces the false teacher's claim to legitimacy. Mixing human traditions and false teaching is still a huge danger today. Roman Catholicism, Orthodox Judaism are masters of mixing human traditions with false teachings. And there are those in the Messianic Jewish movement who have embraced false teachings, which they also reinforce with many human traditions. Some of the false teachers also mix their teaching with elemental spiritual forces, which means the rudiments, the fundamental principles, the ABCs of religion. Here's an example of the kind of elementary teaching that Paul and Timothy had in mind. It's obvious that human beings are not holy, but we need to be holy. The way to be holy is by avoiding bad things, unholy things, by not eating this, but eating that, not touching that, not looking at that. You need to wear this, but not that. You need to say this prayer in this way at this time. You need to treat this time as special. You need to pray in exactly this way. These things seem like the path to holiness, but they're not. What's God's way of holiness? What's God's path for us to become holy? Know who the Messiah is. Be filled with the Spirit of the Holy One of Israel. Get close to the Holy Messiah and stay close to the Holy Messiah, and He will make you holy. The Holy Spirit of the Holy Messiah will make you aware of sin and give you the power to overcome sin. And when you fail, He will give you the wisdom to confess your sins and come back to God and start fresh. Do you understand the differences between these two approaches to holy living? One is based on adherence to outward religious rules. One is based on inward transformation and empowerment by the Holy Messiah living in us. There is a huge, huge difference between these two ways of holiness. What should be the focus of their faith? Messiah, Why should Messiah be the focus of their faith? Besides the reasons we've already talked about, there are other really important reasons. So Paul and Timothy continue, "For in Messiah, all the fullness of God lives in bodily form. And in Messiah, you have been brought to fullness. Messiah is the head over every power, every authority. In Messiah, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Messiah. You were buried with Messiah in baptism, in which you were also raised with Messiah through your faith in the working of God, who raised Messiah from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Messiah. He forgave all of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." Why should they focus their faith on Messiah and not anything else? Because in Messiah, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. The Son does not have just a little part of God the Father living in him. The Son has all the fullness of God the Father living in him. He has the totality, the completeness, the fullness of the infinite, all-powerful, all-present, all-wise, all-saving, all-redeeming, all-loving God living in him. He has the fullness of the God who can love us, create us, redeem us, transform us, bring us to maturity, resurrect us, and reward us, living in him. They should focus their faith in Messiah because in Messiah, all the fullness of God lives in bodily form. Why should they focus their faith on Yeshua? Because in Messiah, you have been brought to fullness. Human beings come into this world fallen, damaged, empty, incomplete. No other philosophy or religion or worldview or sets of practices can bring human beings to fullness, to enable us to reach our full potential as those made in the image of God, to enable us to become the eternal, glorious, redeemed sons and daughters of the Almighty. Only Messiah can bring us to fullness. Why should they focus their faith on Messiah? Because Yeshua is the head over every power, every authority. He's the most powerful, the most authoritative, the highest, the greatest. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, over every human being, every politician, every administration, every angel or archangel, every creature, every force of nature. He is the head over every power and authority. Why not be focused on that head? Why should they focus their faith on Yeshua? Because he and he alone is able to perform a spiritual circumcision on Gentiles and Jews that we so desperately need. In him, you were circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Messiah. Jews and Gentiles are born into this fallen world with a fallen nature that is opposed to God, hostile to God, alienated from God. rebellious towards God. We are spiritually uncircumcised, even if we may be physically circumcised. And that means that we are not in a covenant relationship with God. We need a spiritual circumcision, a cutting away of our old nature and its hostility to God and God's ways and God's standards. And we need to become sons of the covenant, but the new and eternal covenant made possible by the Messiah that will atone for us and enable us to live forever. Only Messiah is capable of performing this spiritual circumcision, this cutting away of our old fallen rebellious nature, and this inclusion into the new covenant made possible by Messiah's life and death and resurrection. Why should they focus their faith on Yeshua? Because he is the only one who can perform this spiritual circumcision that both Jews and Gentiles so desperately need. Why should they focus their faith on Yeshua? Because he alone enables us to die and rise again. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised Yeshua from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Messiah. Again, human nature is corrupt, damaged, depraved. We need a whole new nature. We need a death experience so that our old nature dies, and we need a new life and a new nature so that we are reborn with a whole new nature. Messiah alone is able to do this for human beings. When we understand that God the Father raised his Son from the dead, and we believe this, and we become faithful to God the Father and the risen Messiah, something powerful happens to us. Just as Messiah died and then rose from the dead and is alive now and forever with a nature that wants to serve God, something similar will happen to us. Our old corrupt nature will die, and we will be given a new nature that wants to serve God and not self, serve God and not the world, serve righteousness and not sin. A new nature that is able to live forever with God. Why should they focus their faith on Yeshua? Because he alone enables us to die and rise the way we need to. Why should they focus their faith on Yeshua? Because Messiah did something wonderful for us that only he could do, making possible the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. God the Father forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to Messiah's cross. Our greatest need is not for better politics or more social justice or improvements in science and technology, or more money for education, or an improving economy, or more government spending programs. Our greatest need is for all of our sins to be completely forgiven so that we can be reconciled to the infinitely holy God who's the source of life. Messiah alone makes that possible by dying on the cross. In parts of the ancient world, when a debt was paid off, a note may have been put up in a public place, letting everyone know that so-and-so's debt was paid off. That man's financial slate was clean. In a sense, God the Father took all of our legal indebtedness we accrued by violating his laws, a debt of sin that would have condemned us to a spiritual debtor's prison, hell. And in a symbolic sense, God the Father nailed all of it to the cross of Messiah, letting the universe know that the legal indebtedness of our sin has been completely paid for by the death of the Messiah. Our slate is completely clean. All of our spiritual debts have been paid for by the death of the Messiah. Every single last one of them. No more debt owed to God because of our sins. No more debts that will result in condemnation to hell. Instead, we will enjoy eternal life with the Father, with the Son, in the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. Why should they focus their faith on Yeshua and not anything else? Because Messiah made it possible for us to be freed from the God of this world. Having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. When Adam and Eve joined the rebellion of the fallen angels, they forfeited the right to rule planet Earth. That right to rule the Earth was transferred to the fallen angels. They became the rulers of this world and fallen humanity. But by becoming a man, coming into this world, living a perfect life, and by dying on the cross, Messiah was able to triumph over and disarm these spiritual powers and authorities. Messiah regained the right to rule the world for humanity. He regained the right to rule humanity, which he will fully exercise one day. In parts of the ancient world, enemies who lost a battle were captured, disarmed, and then displayed in public, showing everyone that the conquerors were greater than the conquered. And in a sense, God has made a public spectacle of our demonic enemies by making it clear to us in his word that the battle has already been won, that the Messiah has triumphed, that Satan and the fallen angels have been defeated, and they have been disarmed. They can only do what they have permission to do, what they are allowed by God to do. And ultimately, when God is finished with them, they will be destroyed, and we will be completely and eternally victorious. Hallelujah. What is the answer to the false teachers? Their emphasis on Jewish legalism, Greek philosophy, false mysticism, false kind of asceticism, self-abasement, to focus on Yeshua. Why? Because he is the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is the Lord, the head over every power and authority. In Messiah, all the fullness of God lives in bodily form. He alone can bring human beings to fullness and completeness. He alone can give us a spiritual circumcision, cutting away our old nature and bringing us into his new and eternal covenant. He enables us to die to an old, corrupt life and nature and rise to a new life and a new nature. He enables all of our sins and spiritual debts to be completely forgiven. He has made possible the disarming of the evil spiritual powers and authorities. So focusing on Messiah and all that he is and all that he is to us, all that he is able to do for us, is what's important, is what's necessary. Any other focus, any other religion, any other philosophy, any other way of holiness is off, is wrong, is destructive, is dangerous. Paul and Timothy's conclusion in this chapter, I'm just going to read it. Lord willing, next week I'll go into more detail. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious holiday, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Messiah. Don't let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen, and they're puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, the Messiah, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Messiah to the elemental forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Paul and Timothy were calling the Colossians, the Laodiceans, and others to stay focused on Messiah. And I'm saying the same thing to you. Stay focused on Messiah himself. Amen. Please stand. Let's continue.
Thank you for listening to a message by Rabbi Lauren Jacobs of Congregation Shema Yisrael, located in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, USA. For more information, you can go to our website, shema.com, shema.com.